Welcome back to EAA Radio. I'm Stuck Mike. This segment now is part of our EAA Chapter a Day series, where we've been talking to folks from chapters where things are going really well, where exemplary things are happening, and other chapters can kind of look to the leaders to see how things are going well. And with me today is John Botsford, who is a board member for EAA Chapter 59 in Waco, Texas. John, thanks for coming by.
We're real glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your chapter story. Things are going well. What's happened in the last few years?
Okay, well, first of all, this year is our 50th anniversary. Chapter 59 was chartered in 1959.
Wow.
And so with 50 years of history, we're going along real well. In the past 5 years, we've built a 5,000-square-foot hangar. The hangar is very active. We have 4 aircraft being constructed in that hangar at that time, and also hold our various meetings for our various events that we have. And so it's been a good thing. Membership's doing well. We had at one point gotten down to in the 60 to 70 range, and as of last week, we had broken over 120 members.
My goodness.
So we're doing well there.
Can you link cause and effect there? Why do you think your membership's nearly doubled in just a few years?
It's very simple. You have members who are interested in other people. We have a panda. Let me use an example. On the first Saturday of every month, we have a pancake supper. We advertise it in the local community and try to get the word out in the aviation community around. When the people come in, somebody puts a hand out and shakes their hands. Somebody takes their picture. We make sure they get pancakes, and we try to make them feel welcome. And we've heard this story over and over again. We sure like how friendly you are. And you know, it's people meeting people. It's not a chapter doing something, but it's people in the chapter greeting other people and making them feel welcome.
So clearly, there's a lot of focus on hospitality when you're doing this meeting. So
yes, sir.
That's neat. So membership has grown. How many active building projects are there right now?
It's in our newsletter every month, and I'm trying to think.
Rough number.
But I would say there's probably pretty close to 15. And we say active projects. I'll use myself as an example. I'm doing a restoration job on a 1958 model. Ronca 7EC. And so the restoration, the building of kits, and the building from plans, we just about cover all the bases.
Now, as the membership has grown, have you seen a direct increase in the number of active projects? That is, as people come in, are they coming in saying, I want a place to be mentored or a place to be around folks as I get started on this project?
That was one of our visions from the start. You have to remember that building an airplane is not a trivial project. And so you don't have 20 people come in and 19 of the 20 start building.
Sure, sure.
You maybe have one or two. But this mentoring issue is a very important part of it. A high proportion of our aircraft that are being built are being done by first-time builders. And so they are there in the chapter, and they get the old hands to come by and say, well, here's a problem I have, or here's a tool I don't have. And mentoring is a very, very important part of it.
What can you characterize about the demographics, about ages? I mean, we talked to a fellow yesterday who said the average age of their membership is actually going down as they continue to grow and reach out effectively.
That's interesting you say that. Our chapter, when I joined about 10 years ago, was pretty much the gray hair bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
Retired people doing stuff. As we've done these activities, and again, reaching out, our age group is going down. We've had, we have a few members that are in the early 20s to mid-20s, and then our largest growing group right now is the 30 to 45s, I would say. Still heavy on the older, but the thing that we wanted to do was to turn that number around. And we haven't turned it all the way, but we've had substantial increase in our numbers of younger people. And, you know, if you're going to go for the future, That's where you have to go.
Well, and the gray hair population has accumulated experiences that need to be transferred to somebody.
Exactly, right? Exactly. The wisdom and the when we talk about the building, there are a mm-hmm. lot of skills in building that they share willingly. They'll go out. I can remember one of the chapter members that was building an RV6 and went out to where he was building it on his own. He had a small airstrip of his own. And there were times when, without calls or anything, there would be 6 or 7 chapter members just show up.
Hmm.
Of course, giving a lot of advice.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the builder's responsibility to kind of sift through and decide who he's going to listen to and not, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But it's sometimes conflicting, and you have to say, no, I've got to do it this way or that way. But that is a real important facet of what we do is this. Another facet that sometimes gets overlooked is the mentoring of people who want to learn how to fly. And we have we've got about 4 people that are current and with their instructors' ratings, and some of them are teaching. We have what we find out is a fairly rare commodity right now. We have one instructor who is certified in the new LSAs,
mm.
and he's getting students from a radius of probably almost 200 miles away.
Well, you know,
because he's the only bird out there.
I have not completed training, and I'm looking for the most appropriate and least expensive way to get that done. And I am surprised at where I happen to live, and I won't talk about where that is because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But I just do not see a whole lot of interest in CFIs becoming light sport certified or people providing light sport aircraft in which to learn.
I think that. That's a real hurdle that the light sport is going to have to overcome. What you say is very true down in our area in Texas.
Mm.
To my knowledge, there are only, it's either 3 or 4 covering that whole state of Texas, and that's a big state.
Yeah.
And the fact that our gentleman, as a matter of fact, he's our chapter chairman, is Kenny Grisham. He has people just, I'll use his verbiage, he said they're coming out of the woodwork. I think that EAA, in its own best interest, has put tremendous work in getting this LSA up and going, and I think we need to really start pushing on the instructor aspect. I keep my airplane at the Greshams, and so spend a lot of time with Kenny, and the hurdles he had to go through to get the license were not insignificant. Issues with insurance and issues with the airplane and so
this is the CFI you mentioned who has the light sport certification.
Yes.
Okay.
He just was dog determined to get it done.
Hmm.
Strangely enough, taking his written and his ride was probably the easiest part of it.
Hmm.
It was these peripheral things that really made it a problem.
So what's the aircraft?
I love it. He's teaching in a Champ.
Okay.
Lovely little tail dragger, and all the students love it, and he likes it. And
yeah,
relatively inexpensive, and it's an LSA. It's a good combination.
Yeah, well, that's a phenomenon that I'm certainly with you on hoping that the things improve and that the right kinds of emphases are placed as time goes on. So
it's an essential thing.
What kind of advice would you give to chapter board members who are looking to maybe turn the ship around for things like declining membership or declining activity?
I think I've already suggested it, but I'm more than happy to repeat it, and that is you've got to have people who are interested in people. We put out advertisement. Our local paper has a little column that's free where you can post your meeting notices and that sort of thing, and we're good about that. We use email to put stuff out to chapters in the region around. And then, I think the most important thing, we have chapter members who invite friends and acquaintances. And so you got to have a chapter member who believes in the chapter, who cares about somebody else. And when you show the care, people will get involved.
Hey, you know, there was a question I meant to ask you earlier, and I forgot to. I wanted you to sort of run down the list of what you know aircraft that are under construction in your chapter.
Oh, that's it. Be glad to. When we built our hangar, it's 5,000 square feet, and one of the ideas was to provide a place for chapter members who did not have a place to build airplanes.
That's huge. I mean, hugely important.
Yes, it is. We can accommodate about four airplanes at a time. The most frequent venue has been those people who are in the last stage where you want to put wings on it and get it ready to fly. But we have a Velocity in there that was... Remember the day when a whole bunch of members were there unloading those crates from Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a Pitten pole that's just about finished. It's its third time through. It's had a couple of incidents. But it's in the test hop phase. The club is building a Wagero Cub that our dream is to get it finished and have a raffle. We're trying to set up a fund that will be help with the ongoing survivability of our maintenance, pay issues, insurance and that sort of thing. And we want to create some stability for that. Let me see. I left one out. Our newest inhabitant is I forget the brand, but it's a gyrocopter.
Wow.
And so we've got fixed wing, we got rotary, we've got large fiberglass, we've got tube and fabric, and we've got sheet metal. We got them all there.
Wow. What a great story. John Botsford, a board member from EAA Chapter 59 in Waco, Texas, part of our Chapter a Day series on EAA Radio. John, thanks for coming in.
It was a pleasure. We thank you very much for the opportunity.